Hello and welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, what's up?
Not much. Not much.
Nothing much, and that's kind of the tone of the whole episode here. Not a whole lot of baseball chat to have. I do have an update from one of my rants last week. If you remember. And listeners, if you remember, I currently have a Didi Gregorius number 18 jersey, right? And my biggest fear is it going that number going to Alex Verdugo, who said he was mad earlier today about getting traded. But we can get about that. We can get to that in a second. Scotty, do you want to know what I realized I had saved? And you want to know what number Yamamoto wears?
Is it 18?
It's 18. And the Yankees are not giving anybody 18
Yeah,
because
no.
18 is like the number for aces in Japan. So,
Yeah.
like, Scotty.
No, yeah, no shit. The eight, but like that's probably just another part of their scheme of getting him.
Shut
Not
the fuck up
scheme,
and
like
it better
that's probably
work.
like their idea of like it's gonna help them. We can't be like.
And I mean, so that's. Right, happy, great news for me. Oh my God, I'll have the first Yamamoto jersey anywhere because people won't even have it printed. But along with that,
Really, people don't already have Yamamoto jerseys printed.
but they're gonna have to put the 18 on it.
No, I think people. Yeah, okay, yeah, good
You
point.
think other people are sitting on a Didi Gregorius jersey, Scotty?
I mean, I imagine people have had 18 probably sitting for a while. Not only for that, but like not only for from Didi and other people, but like at the same time of. It's pretty obvious who he's the number he's going to go for. He's going to most likely go for the
I
number.
don't even I don't know how that didn't cross either one of our minds last week while I was freaking out that
I have to say I haven't paid enough attention to the number he was wearing in Japan.
the only reason I realized it is because I was going back and deleting screenshots from like past topics I wanted to talk about and it was right there and I was like, you dumb motherfucker. But about Yamamoto, earlier this week he met with the Yankees again and he met with the Mets again. And it came out that he never met with the Boston Red Sox, which is, I think, huge.
Yeah. I mean it narrows the teams down. That's the simplest way to put it.
And he want right. There were quotes today from Boone talking about his meeting with him, and they said they showed pre-recorded videos with Hideki Matsui. They got him a signed jersey, got him a bunch of stuff. And pretty much the synopsis was that he wants to go somewhere that is a big stage and wins. And obviously, our season last year, not a great representation of it, but the last 10 years as Mets versus the last 10 years of Yankees, we have a little bit more success, correct?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, not a ton, honestly, not a ton, but
But I feel it, but there's
a few more
no.
playoff appearances. That's about as
Yeah.
far as we go
And
compared
like,
to the Mets. They have gone farther
there's
than we
the
have.
tone that always comes around talking about the Mets, right? It's like, well, of course that's gonna happen. They're the Mets. Of course they're gonna lo have Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer and have to get rid of them because they're the Mets, right? There's
Yeah.
no that principle is not on the Yankees, which I continue to think is a good thing for us. There was also a rumor earlier today that he was gonna be going to the Rams Thursday night football game. With Shohei Ohtani, and then like 20 minutes ago, they were like, Yamamoto will not be at that football game.
I don't think it really would have mattered.
Just chatter, just chatter.
yeah, but like at the same time, it's the same idea. Like, oh no, he went to go and watch a football game with a good friend of his.
A guy he's known literally forever. Yeah, but he's very aware. The other day, I saw a graphic that it was like, listing top free agents like left on the market. And for some reason, I don't know if they, sorry, I don't know if you heard that. I just launched a clip on my computer. I was trying to figure out the only way that like logically I could assume that they sorted this was like the most anticipated ones. And it was Cody Bellinger and then Yamamoto.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know.
Because then I was like, oh, I was just thinking like, oh, maybe it was alphabetical. Then Yamamoto would definitely be last.
Yeah, not second.
So pretty much I took that as they were considering him the second most anticipated. And I was like, this seems wrong. But did anything else happen for the New York Yankees this week?
We got a few guys, nothing major. We picked up
Oh.
Gonzalez. We added him to a minor league contract. He hit 266 with 185 RBIs through his minor league career. Really
Whose
just a
program was he with?
he was with the Giants. It really is just a guy to invite to spring training. And then our big one is that we signed Jeter Downs from waivers off of the Nationals. If you remember, 3 years ago, I'd like to say, Jeter Downs made his, I think, his debut at Yankee Stadium and hit a
Yes, he
home run
did.
as a Red Sox against us. Spent a year, kid's fast. That's about as far as he's got going for him.
Yeah, I was gonna say to be put onto waivers by the Washington Nationals kind of gives you a clue into skill level. But I mean, Scotty and I have talked about this a bunch. Sure, last year it did not pan out well at the major league level, which is always disappointing. Our minor league teams are always very, very good and really seem to develop pretty good players. We have a collection of middle infielders that, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera was not in the conversation of being a major league player until he really started to, I think, grow in the minor league system. So I think that there is a way to increase his value. I don't really see a spot for him on the Yankee lineup in any near future, but hopefully he's someone that we can develop and turn into a piece that we can trade.
Yeah. And who knows? Yeah, he shows a little bit in minor leagues. Maybe we can throw him in a
I
trade,
was
but
going to say the idea of, okay, maybe consequently some infielder gets hurt and Jeter Downs is having a good, you know, rebound year. The story, the fanfare of a guy named Jeter playing at Yankee Stadium would be huge.
yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of prep for that.
Yeah. And then the final Yankee thing that really happened was all MLB team came out. Gerrit Cole, of course, gets named to the all MLB first team,
Could you
would be
imagine
tied
he
to Cy
doesn't get named? They're like,
Young. Cy Young
someone
doesn't.
else.
Yeah.
Someone else.
So he gets all MLB first time. This is their first team. This is his third time in his career being on the first team. I think fourth time being selected all time.
Which you would think, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. You would think that would have, right, three-time all MLB, four-time or three-time first team, four-time
Yeah.
all any team. You'd think, I don't know, my biggest like shock is that this was Gerrit Cole's first Cy Young, right? His fantastic year in Houston, I don't understand how he didn't win that year.
When I went and I made that post for his Cy Young, I expected it, so I kind of pre-made it. I was
Yeah.
going through it and I was like, what? Second, third Cy Young? I'm like, what the fuck
Because like
is this?
I'm thinking of his, it was either his, I think it was his last year as an Astro. He was untouchable. And like there was I just think every now and then this stat circulates like a screenshot and it was like a bottom third of Gerrit Cole on the Astros and it's something about like he went like so many innings without giving up a run and it was just like something crazy and I'm so bad at
Gerrit Cole's been
remembering.
in the top five of the Cy
Yeah.
Young 6 times in his career, with being in second twice. There are
And
two,
what?
as you say, two other times, and the one was when he lost to Alec, not Alec Manoah, but the other Toronto guy who then moved to Seattle.
Oh, I see him.
I see him, and he did terrible in Seattle. Or
I
got hurt
see
or
him.
something like
What
that.
year was it?
It was 2021.
All right, then I'm just gonna look up 2021.
Yeah, I'm trying to, because I'm trying to also see who he lost to in 2019. I think it might have been Verlander. It was Verlander.
Yeah,
Look at
that
that.
makes sense.
But yeah, I mean,
Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray. Yeah.
Fucking Robbie Ray.
Zeros, and that was the one that like he could have won, but it all came down to the strikeout number or some bullshit like that.
And
Like
the
Robbie
Justin
Ray got
Verlander
like.
one is the one that I like am always the most shocked about, but also at the same time, like,
It's a fine line of like,
yeah,
yeah.
I remember the Robbie Ray one was frustrating because it was like,
They were
no,
like the same.
was it strikeouts or was it home runs?
I think it was Cole had the strikeout number, but Robbie Ray had the home run number.
That's given
No,
Gerrit Cole's past
Robbie Ray
history.
did beat Gerrit Cole by five strikeouts. He beat him by five strikeouts, but Cole had two complete games.
Yeah, I
But Robbie
remember.
Ray had a 0.4 better ERA, and like it
Clearly, that
was.
was 2 years ago, so I shouldn't have that short term of memory loss. But I remember that one very well. Of like, we were not as confident pre-making a Cy Young post for Gerrit
Yeah.
Cole that year as
Yeah.
we were this year. So he's first team All Cy Young, totally make first team All Cy
All
Young,
MVP.
first team All MLB, and
And
then.
then Aaron Judge goes and gets second team all MLB. It was his first time on the second team, but it is his third time being an all MLB team. The last 2 years, he's been first team for pretty obvious reasons. And it's still very impressive that this man can get hurt for half the season and still make all MLB second
I
team.
was gonna say making all MLB second team all MLB with what 80 games under his belt this year, if
Yeah,
that.
whatever it is. Yeah.
And it just every time that like Aaron Judge's 2023 season gets brought up, I just get upset because it was gonna be he was going he probably bear obviously like freak whatever. He was on track. And the way that he performed when he returned to do back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah. And even when he was back from injury.
He still managed to be in the conversation.
Yeah, and then he got hurt again, and then he got back again, and he still was the same guy. Like he is somebody who has never fallen from when he's hurt or when he's healthy,
Yeah.
and it really is
And I will
insane.
never, ever, ever let the Dodgers, I
You
will
hear it
never
all
let
the
them
time.
forget that they just had a slab of concrete in right field and that was okay.
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time of like, oh yeah, this guy, but he is coming back from injury, and I think that you just can't hold that on Aaron Judge.
That, yeah, that qualifier was never needed for Aaron Judge. No, exactly.
All the rest of the teams. So all MLB first team, of course, you have Gerrit Cole on the mound. Other pitchers, Zach Allen, Blake Snell, Spencer Strider, Shohei, Josh Hader, and Felix Bautista.
Yeah.
Going around the infield, catcher, Adley Rutschman, first baseman, Freddie Freeman, second baseman, Marcus Semien, shortstop, Corey Seager, third base, Austin Riley, left center, right, Acuna, Carroll, Betts. I feel like there's nothing here
That
about
is
that.
interesting that Betts got right field, even though did he
He
not
plays
spend most of the year playing second?
most of the year at second. And he's gonna spend most of next year at second
Yeah,
too.
I thought Roberts pretty much said that he is playing second base.
And he said that this year. Yeah, about this year.
Yeah.
But he might qualify because I think he did split enough time at second and right field this past year. For second team. Pitchers go Kevin Gausman, Sonny Gray, Nathan Eovaldi, Jordan Montgomery, Kyle Bradish, Devin Williams, Emmanuel Clase. What surprises me is that Eovaldi gets second team and so does Montgomery.
Jordan
Those
Montgomery
are
just
two very different pitchers.
adding to that check that he's gonna get.
Yeah, but those are two very different pitchers. Montgomery was solid all year, became very good at the end of the year. Nathan Eovaldi was a Cy Young pitcher for three quarters of the year and then got
Yeah,
hurt.
but is I just I feel like the people, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I feel like the people in first team, there was such a jump. And yes, I agree that Eovaldi had like three quarters of the year, but that means that he had a quarter of the year where he did not perform that well.
I think I would because he was. I think I would put Eovaldi over Strider because Strider had his strikeout numbers, but he still had a 4.3 ERA. Like he had a
There.
bad ERA.
Totally
But
fair.
again, the injury hurt Eovaldi in his
Also,
last one killed
who
Eovaldi. Like,
picks this? Because I know Shohei got
so
eight.
Shohei, technically, I should say, Shohei made it twice. He made first team as a pitcher and first team as a DH.
Of course he did. Because I know that he also was awarded AP's Athlete of the Year for the second time earlier today, last night sometime. And like that's clearly picked by Associated Press. I don't know who this team is. I think it's just selected by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I think it's promoted and like completely like shown by Major
Secrecy.
League Baseball.
Yeah. But going around the actual position players for the second team, DH Yordan Alvarez,
Yeah.
catcher Jonah Heim, first baseman Matt Olson, second baseman Ozzie Albies, shortstop Francisco Lindor, third baseman Jose Ramirez, and then again left, center, right, Adolis Garcia, Aaron Judge, Kyle Tucker.
Francisco Lindor.
Francisco Lindor had a, and I will give it to him. I talk shit about Francisco Lindor all the time, but he had a solid year last year. I think he was around a 2020 year last year.
To be fair, it also is like with the shitstorm that the Mets have been just in the Steve Cohen era, it definitely was so much easier to look at the faults of the Mets last year and just assume that everybody was failing.
Yeah, but yeah, he put up a secret season. 2023, he had a 254 average, so an okay average, 98 RBIs, 31 stolen bases, and 31 home runs. He had a
Is it
30-30.
based? Sorry, I'm not that you know the answer of the question I'm about to ask. Is it based on their offensive stats, their defensive stats? Because
That's a
clearly it's not,
mix.
right? It can't be defensive because then it's also confusing because it's interleague, like it's mixed league.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just their total play, which really leans towards more offense.
Yeah.
But like somebody like Kyle Tucker, I think is I mean, that's mostly his offense, but a
Fucking
handful
hate
of it is
Kyle
offense.
Tucker, man. He's a sleeper on that team that I can't fucking stand. Like, yeah, you have
Yeah.
like the obvious ones that you're like, oh, we hate Alex Bregman. Oh, we hate Jose Altuve. No, I fucking hate Kyle Tucker. I don't even think he was a part of the sign-stealing thing.
Oh,
I just
he
hate
nowhere
his
close.
bitch ass face.
It's also 6.5 feet tall.
Yeah, he reminds me of Pete Davidson in like the worst way. I don't know why. I don't have any example for that, like reasoning, but he does.
All right.
Anything else happen in baseball other than the rules that we can talk
Oh yeah. Well, when I went over first team,
about? Oh,
we went over first team and Freddie Freeman, of course, gets first team at first base. This is his fifth consecutive appearance on the All MLB teams,
you know.
which
He looks real goofy when he plays the sport, but he's fucking good, man.
yeah.
Like, I love seeing people that like, right, you would never teach their form to someone, or you would never assume that they would like be as good as they are, and then they're like, yeah, but it works for me really fucking well, so shut up.
Swing just doesn't look comfortable, but it
Not it.
works.
It's like really sharp.
Yeah. It's
But
like boxy. It's boxy.
boxy.
Just looks like he's a square. Like he just looks.
Then like
Well,
watching
sharp
him
is the right word, but it's just
and
like looks.
watching him run is also, but I think like also watching any like very like, because Aaron Judge is awkward when he runs too, like they're, when they're just like very long like that, they're, it's very hard to look like smooth and like athletic.
Yeah. So a few acquisitions.
Acquisitions. That
Acquisitions. I
you mixed
said
the word
that and it was not an
accusations and
acquisition.
acquisitions together.
So to start off, we talked about this at the end of last episode, in terms of the Dodgers trading for Tyler Glasnow and Manuel Margot. It was dependent on a accepted
Extension.
offer from Tyler Glasnow, and he does agree to a 5-year, $135 million extension with the Dodgers. This puts in a situation of, is Yamamoto a front runner anymore? because of the volume of starting pitchers that they have. The money and the volume of starting pitchers. It looks good, yes, but that also will go and put Shohei Ohtani's out there. You have now Tyler Glass now. You have
Kershaw,
I wouldn't really put Kershaw up there because
Walker
he's getting old.
Buehler,
He'll be a Bueller. You have the guy who what?
the redhead,
No, the guy who did really good last year and then hurt, or 2 years ago and hurt himself with the Cats.
hurt himself with the Cats.
He had like cats on his socks or something like that.
Well, then they also have the guy who hit his wife, Julio
Yes, they have
Urias.
Urias. They have like they have a plentiful amount of starting pitchers to the point where you're like, I imagine as
That's
good
what,
level.
listen, I don't want to sound crazy, but I think Yamamoto is a Yankee. I think the Yamasoto prophecy has happened.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea. Tony Gosselin, that's who I was thinking of. He's coming back. So yeah, you have Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, you have Tony Gosselin, you have now Shohei, now you have Tyler Glass now, and now you're just
That's five.
and you can say you have Dustin May, but I think he'd be pushed more to a relief role. But like
Well, that's bearing like
you have
Julio
Bobby Miller
Urias.
who just went and made an amazing rookie year.
Yeah, that's bearing they keep Urias, right? Because the Dodgers have been, especially saying that they had Trevor Bauer during everything that happened with him. They have been pretty good in terms of releasing people, but I don't know. The Urias thing was kind of funky.
The Urias thing was, I feel like the Urias thing was really interesting because it was very much just thrown under the rug. It
Yeah.
happened. He got suspended. Boom.
Yeah, it was. But that's right. They have five, potentially six, seven starting pitchers if you include Dustin May and Miller. That's seven. And then also, oh, we might bring Clayton Kershaw back. That's eight. You're not, because they're not going to put Kershaw in the bullpen. They're not.
Those are all frontline starters. Those aren't just like some starters we're throwing at. Those are
Exactly.
all.
It's not like, oh, we'll really, like, there's no point in getting rid of any of them.
Like you're looking
Top line starters.
Tony Gosselin, who was an all-star in 2022, pitched to a 2.14 ERA. Had a rougher last year, but also only pitched in 20 games. I guess he got a good amount then. I'm realizing that now. So he might get pushed a little back, but who knows? They're gonna probably try to keep him around to see if they can respark that. Again, you can't take out Bobby Miller because he was having an insane year. You can't take out Shohei, of course, got just signed for, and they're
He's
giving him
well,
$2 million a
Scotty, they're only
year.
paying him $2 million.
They're gonna use him for
Also, Shohei's
$2 million.
not pitching this year.
Yeah.
But
So
that they that would I don't think that that would affect them. Like, they'd still be signing
it would.
Yamamoto to a long-term contract, so
It's the exact thing of almost all these guys. They don't just have for a year. They're not just a year in these guys. It's a 5 year extension for Glass now here. Shohei they have for 45 years.
until the end of time, yeah.
As you said, Bobby Miller, young, he still has all of his rookie contract going. They have a lot of guys.
And I won't, until I start seeing like rumors that the Dodgers are trying to move anybody in their starting rotation and not just keep acquiring people, I'm going to continue to believe that they're just out on it.
Yeah.
I think the other crazy thing that you sent me about the Dodgers is that the Dodgers starting rotation now has a combined 37 Tommy John surgeries. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, just it's you have Shohei. You have, I mean, Kershaw
Shohei, is
probably.
this his second?
Think so.
Glasnow's had two.
Yeah.
Bueller just
Well,
had one.
I don't know if he's had two Tommy Johns because the last thing he had was a
Oh, his
forearm.
hamstring, right?
Oh, his forearm.
Oh.
He hurt his forearm after the sticky stuff
After
ban.
the sticky, I thought
Because of
after that he
Mitt.
needed Tommy John.
It could have been.
But that's crazy, and also just so wildly impressive. That right, we're talking about how these guys are all ridiculously good pitchers because of the medical developments in Tommy John. Like, I
Okay.
honestly think
I
sometimes.
think I looked it up. This was 9 days ago. The Dodgers 40 man as a combined. Oh, it was only 14.
I was gonna say 37 seems crazy.
37 is insane. But as a 40 man has a total of 14 Tommy Johns. Nick Frosso has one. Tony Gosselin has one. Bruce Jagratterall has one. Michael Grove has one. Ricky Venasco has one. Gus Varlin has one. Dustin May has two. Walker Buehler has two. Caleb Ferguson has two. Shohei has two. And I'd imagine then that adds.
Yeah, can you see how many Glasnow's had?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure he's had at least one.
He's had one, I think. Yeah. Underwent Tommy John August 4th, 2021.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then in 2023, he had an oblique issue.
Oblique, yeah. I always forget that your oblique is not in your legs. It sounds like a leg muscle.
Yeah. But, yeah, that 14, 15 Tommy John.
15 now, yeah.
Is an insane number.
And for Dustin May, who's like 14, to have two, he could probably get two more in his career, honestly.
Yeah, and Walker Buehler having a ton. And it's
Buehler's, this is gonna sound crazy. Buehler's, correct me if I'm wrong, he kind of looks like Madison Bumgarner. Not Madison Bumgarner? Is that who I'm trying to think of when he pitches? No. Tim Lincecum.
I'm trying to remember what
Bueller like really, was. Really aggressive.
Yeah.
And like kind of almost slingshot-esque. I haven't
a
seen
little bit.
I feel like I haven't That's... seen Walker Buehler pitch in like 9 years.
Well, because I mean he didn't pitch all last year. It's been a whole year. And I'm getting him, and like when I think of Walker Buehler right now, I think of Bobby Miller. Cause they just like
also the only other thing I remember about Walker Buehler. Skinny little pants.
Yeah, tight pants.
Tight pants.
But to go on to other movements around the league, I want to do a short little one that means basically nothing, but involves a Yankee legend. Matt Carpenter and Ray Kerr, along with some cash considerations, gets traded from the Padres to the Braves. Matt Carpenter then gets cut from the Braves and will probably get picked up somewhere. And was at Oklahoma State a few days ago to watch the Oklahoma State game.
I mean, listen, Matt Carpenter of 2022 will go down in history, honestly, I think is one of the best midseason like career relaunches ever. Like until he broke his foot, I don't think there was a better person on the Yankees. I think he was the best guy on the team.
He was Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
He was better than Shohei.
And he did. Right. Last year, the Padres had him and Nelson Cruz. And it's like, what's going on?
Like, you can only hold so much age.
Like, your combined age right now is like 500 here. With two members of the team.
And they had Odor for a little bit, too.
They did have Odor. Is he not?
Odor was only like 34. Like 30,
he just looks really old.
Yeah.
I don't know if Matt Carpenter will get picked up, Scotty. I don't know. I'm afraid this might be a forced into early retirement. Well, not early. This is kind of like an accurate timed retirement.
No, it seems like a pretty regular retirement.
I'm like, ooh, it's so early. That young buck.
He's gonna go and watch one of his good friends. His son is about to go and make it to the league. So
I was gonna say, like, I can't think of. I mean, if a team's really desperate for a DH,
I think he'd get picked up in the sense of either a minor league deal or like a deep 40-man deal.
But the
like,
thing is, right? You do have to. I'm 99% sure that he is a father of a child. You know, is it worth it?
Just have that mustache and not have a child.
Facts. Is it worth it to go on to a minor league contract?
Who knows? Who knows P values?
True. True, true, true.
Let's see. They have two children.
Of course he does. Look at that. Look at that thing.
But at this point, they are a little old.
His kids?
By a little old, I mean, the one is six and the other seven.
They're a little old. If that's
Hey.
a little old, Scotty, how old are you?
Hey.
Ancient dust. What else is going on?
So in terms of moves, the Pirates made a few moves. They signed Martin Perez from the Rangers. That's going to be a good starter for them because the Rangers weren't going to use him as a starter.
And one
And the
thing that the
Pirates had.
Pirates do is they make guys really good before they go somewhere else.
Yeah, but they aren't good for them. So in 2 years, how long is this contract?
He'll
So
be a
1 year,
Yankee.
$1 million contract. So watch out next year.
He'll be a Yankee or a Ray.
Yeah.
100%.
And then the biggest move that the Pirates made was re-signing Mr. Andrew McCutchen. And by re-signing, I mean they just signed him. It was a 1 year deal. They didn't even say the amount of money it was, because it doesn't matter.
Exactly. He's just Mr. Pirate.
So it's
Andrew
cool. He's gonna be
McCutchen,
cool to see
Yankee
him.
legend, correct?
Yankee legend, yeah. Yes, that is a damn Yankee legend right there. It's gonna be cool to see his, I'm assuming probably a retirement tour.
Yeah, because right last year, I think people thought that that was last year. Then he did well, and the Pirates weren't terrible.
Well, he was at the Brewers, thought.
He was with the Brew. No, last year he was a Pirate.
He was a pirate last year.
Yeah, because last year
Oh
they
yeah,
thought was the
this picture
retirement
has him
tour.
in their City Connect, so it very much has to be a pirate.
And then he got hurt like with a month left, and it was like he got hurt, and what's his face over in San Francisco, shortstop Garrett Cole's brother-in-law,
Brandon
Brandon
Crawford.
Crawford, the two of them both got hurt like around the same time, and they're like, God, these are two like legends to their franchises, and they get like forced into like not having like a nice retirement day due to injury. But that is nice that he's grabbing one more day.
Yeah. And so
One
yeah,
more
it's gonna be
day.
cool
One day.
one day. The Diamondbacks re-signed Lourdes Gurriel Jr. It was a 3 year, $42 million deal. That's a big move. It was a trade that happened this past year that gave Toronto their catcher. I'm blanking on who it was, but essentially, oh no, sorry, opposite way around. He came in the trade with Gabriel Moreno. And the D-backs got Gurriel and Moreno from the Blue Jays.
Yes.
He was a key part of their energy,
Yeah,
those
and I
players.
remember the Gurriel trade where like, oh my God, he just got like sent to purgatory, like
Yeah.
off the Blue Jays, who should be good at baseball, to the Diamondbacks, who are never good, and it's like, flip it and reverse it.
Yeah. So it's good to see them making some kind of a move to go and try to make a move to keep somebody around for a little bit and have a little bit of a
Build
poster child that they haven't
something
had in a
there.
while, an older poster child rather
Yeah.
than you have your 16-year-old Corbin Carroll.
You see the kid that pulled the Carol card in like a, it was like a Christmas swap?
No.
I don't know the exact story, but I've seen it on Twitter. It was like a $25 max Christmas swap, and somebody like bought a thing of Topps cards, and they had a Carol, like a rookie card in the back.
Damn. Finally, the last moves I want to talk about is the Royals. Just as a whole, they made a few more moves this past week, which totals their offseason additions to being Will Smith, Kyle Wright, Hunter Renfroe, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, and Garrett Hampson.
First of all,
That
we didn't
is.
talk about a lot of those guys going to Kansas City because we thought it would stop.
Yeah, so that's four pitchers, with Will Smith being a reliever, Kyle Wright being a very young starter, Seth Lugo being a little bit on the older side. I think he's 34. Michael Wacha is 31, and then Garrett Hampson is an infield outfielder, and Hunter Renfroe is Mike Trout Walmart version.
Yes, I kind of feel bad for Hunter Renfroe because like I feel like him and right, a lot of those names are just, and I mean this like so respectfully to professional athletes, just dudes, just guys being dudes. But the names that stick out are Renfroe and Michael Wacha.
Yeah, well, I think Hunter Renfrow is always really funny because there's a Hunter Renfrow in the NFL.
There is. What does he
Yeah,
do? What
he's
does
a
he do?
wide
He plays
receiver.
football
He's a
like
wide
someone.
receiver for the Patriots.
Well, ugh, so relevant. I bet he gets
Well, he
targeted all
was
the
a wide
time by
receiver for the
fucking
Raiders.
Mr. Zappy.
He's been a wide receiver for the Raiders for a while,
Oh,
and
even
then that,
better football
and
team.
by for a while I mean like 3 years, and then he went to the Patriots. I just think it's really funny that there's two Hunter Renfros, because who the fuck just happens to be named Hunter Renfrow? It's
Two.
not some Will Smith bullshit where that's very possible.
But yeah, and you know, maybe the Royals are trying to put something together.
It is a spark that I think is really interesting. I did the math. Their average age is only like 31. I thought their average age would be really old.
Patrick Mahomes was super stoked about all the work that the Royals are doing. He said, "Let's
Yeah, but
go." And I
like,
said, "You've never watched baseball in the last 5 years, sir."
yeah, but I mean, it's gonna be interesting to what they do with it. I think it's the right moves they need to make with getting starting pitching, because that was about all they had losing. Their star was either Zach Greinke or Brady Singer, and Brady Singer was probably the one person that everybody was most upset to see on the USA starting rotation, and there was a lot of bad names.
I was gonna say, Merrill Kelly started the championship game, Scotty.
Oh, Merrill Kelly also started game two of the World Series.
He was
So,
good then. He was not good in the World Baseball Classic.
I mean, the team knows what they need to evolve on. It was primarily their pitching. They had atrocious pitching. I think they had like
Yeah.
a five something ERA as a team. So it's good that they're making the steps there, especially grabbing the young Kyle Wright, and Seth Lugo, who had a very good season last
Oh,
year
I also
with the
know him.
Padres.
I kind of zoned out, but I know that name.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a few people who are solid. They didn't make big moves, but again, it's the Royals. It's not, and that's not saying like, oh, they're the Royals, they can't make big moves. But
But
either way, they physically don't have the they don't have
yeah,
the
it's that's the
economy.
Royals. They were never gonna, they're, right, they're never gonna be in the running for a Scherzer, a Shohei, a Yamamoto. So they have to try. Like you've seen a lot of. Right when the Brewers put together a team that made it to the playoffs, it's picking and choosing guys that you hopefully strike gold with,
And put
and you
together,
have
yeah.
them.
It's your rookies, or it's your, you know, these small trades are just
Yeah,
small trades and small pickups that will just have that explosive season. And I
it's like
mean,
it's
you're
how your
seeing
team.
exactly that right now with Brady Singer being a solid pitcher, but that's a farm system. You have,
Yeah.
of course, Bobby Witt Jr., who, you know, you had to
Hey.
wait 5 years to be able to use, but now is that centerpiece to your team. And so Salvador Perez. I mean, you've been sitting on him for 10 years now, basically. And
But
it's
you also
having
have to respect Salvi, not
sticking.
yeah, he so could have gone somewhere else.
He watched this team at its highest and then fall down as low as physically possible
Yeah.
and stuck around with it.
And the thing is, like, that's the one part of like baseball and baseball fandom that we can try to understand all we want, right? But the Yankees can always go out and buy the talent they need, whether they do that or not, up to the managers and the GMs. But right when you look at like the Marlins, right, they win, they do great, then they sell the whole team because they can't afford to run the machine that the Yankees should run, which I think is why the two of us kind of get frustrated sometimes, is that the Yankees financially should never have a problem with having stars on the team, right? The Marlins, they need to get them young, and the Royals and teams like that need to get them young and hope that they like the team enough to stay, right?
Yeah.
You to hope that you get a Sal like a Salvador Perez that just wants to see it succeed. But that's not gonna happen all the time. And like the idea of being fans of that, I can imagine can be very, very exhausting, which I think is why Salvador Perez stays, because the city of Kansas City would probably like elect him for president if it was up to them. Like the
Yeah.
way it takes a very specific type of player that would rather be loved in the city that they are in than make a lot of money to stick on those smaller market teams and be the core, right?
Yeah.
Because the Yankees have had the baby bombers thing for how long, and now that's like our older, more mature players. teams like the Royals get players for at max 5 years. And then they have, like, the turnover's crazy.
Yeah. So I think I have two more things to say before we get into that final rules change. There are a handful of free agents. Of course, we talked about Yamamoto. Other people who are still on the market, and this is the one you're talking about, of remaining free agents, Cody Bellinger.
We've heard nothing about him, right?
He's nothing about, I think, and I was going to ask you about this, about your thoughts. Cody Bellinger, Josh Hader, Blake Snell, Teoscar Hernandez, Jordan Montgomery, JD Martinez, Matt Chapman,
fucking
Shota Umaga. What?
Fucking JD Martinez.
Yeah. Shota Umaga and Jorge Soler all are on the block. Lexi, how many do you think are being clogged up or they have to wait for the Yamamoto decision before any of them make the deal?
I think all of them, right? Because unless they're looking to sign to a non-huge market team, which I don't think a lot of those people are, right? Cody Bellinger just came off of a fantastic year. He's, not to shit on the people that I just cheered on, he's not going to go sign with the Royals, right? You might have one or two that, like, probably don't actually have to wait and could, you know, find deals with smaller teams. But I really think that all of baseball pressed pause until Shohei and Yamamoto sign. I think after Yamamoto signs, it's going to be like a dam. Mm-hmm. And teams are going to realize that they don't need to save the $400 million that they had set aside for him. And they'll just start throwing contracts at people.
I think it's a little surprising because, like, I'd understand most of these other starting pitchers, the Blake Snell, who's looking for essentially Yamamoto's contract, maybe minus 2 years, minus $60 million, something like that. Or Jordan Montgomery, who's just a starting pitcher, is going to be
Jordan Montgomery should get the same exact contract as Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
I was just going to say he can compare to what his contract is and what he's done and all that.
Yeah,
but like these people. Cody Bellinger, I could tell you that people who are looking for an outfielder first baseman are most likely not the teams that are going to go and spend a lot of money on a starting pitcher, especially Josh Hader, who's a closer.
I think it also has to do with, right, so right after the Shohei Ohtani news broke, some guy signed with the White Sox, like literally 3 minutes after.
Yeah.
Clearly, I don't even know who that was, right? Just the spectacle of you being signed, right? I get a text, or not a text, I get a notification every time Jeff Passan tweets or breathes at this point, right?
Same thing.
You're not going to get that same attention if it's, right, because right now I sit at the edge of my seat every time I see a Twitter notification, I get excited thinking that it's the Yamamoto news, right? But if I look at it and it's not that, I'm upset. Okay. I'm annoyed. I'm bored. I don't continue reading. So just from a PR standpoint, because that's who I am at my core, there's a good chance that they know like the one or two teams that they would go to, and everybody is just holding off because they want the Yamamoto news to break. So then everything after that is also breaking news.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Because, and like, sure, I mean, like, none of those people are even, like, obviously these are, like, top free agents. So they're all people that people are, like, fans are concerned about where they're going. But nobody, that's, like, the interesting part about baseball is that it's not a sport where you're, you are fans of players, but, like, you're not, like, oh, I'm a fan of Cody Bellinger and I'm excited for wherever he goes, right? I just want to know what Cody Bellinger's doing. I'm going to cheer on whatever team Cody Bellinger's on. That's not really the sport. It's just they want to be breaking news, which totally makes sense, and I just don't think that there's going to be any sort of breaking baseball news until Yamamoto is signed and settled.
Yeah, all right, I see that. The other thing I want to talk about real quick before we get into our final thing is I don't know if you saw the spectacle that Verlander put on. Blanking on his first name. Not Justin.
Ben?
Ben Verlander put on.
No, I think I've been blocked on everything, if I'm being completely honest. Or whenever he comes up, I'm like, this is bad. It's like, was this educational? I'm like, no, this was harmful.
His quote was,
So glad Shohei Ohtani lives in LA. Now I know where he lives and I can be there whenever I want to be.
I know it was. I'll find exactly because it's quite amazing. What he said
Oh boy. It's never a good start.
about Shohei Ohtani. Of
Oh
course,
God.
who else?
Oh God, I'm nervous.
Oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to. Okay. The quote was in terms of this Shohei Ohtani deal, it is the most important signing in Dodger history. I think he then doubles down and says most impactful and most monumental signing coming from a team that signed Jackie Robinson. I would like to oppose that statement.
Yeah, that seems like it has just like slight racial undertones.
Look, I will say one thing.
No, you want to know what it is? It's recency bias and
Yeah.
uneducated.
Yeah. Look,
Go ahead. I love when you talk about Ben Verlander.
I will give him one benefit of the doubt. I very, very slightly see the direction he was going in. But come on.
He should have said in the
Look,
last
this is
20
the
years
most this is
in
you
this
know.
decade,
Yeah. For
or
this team recently. You could have just said
if
recently.
you want to keep using right, this is the most influential and impactful signing by the Dodgers since Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Like,
You could have just saved yourself a little
because
bit there.
Jackie Robinson was not just impactful to the Dodgers, he was impactful to all of
All of
baseball.
baseball.
And that is honestly, call me cr that is grounds for a meeting with HR and a considered suspension slash firing from whatever platform he is on. That is insane.
I think that all he could have had to do was like, this is the most impact. You could say the right words. You could say the same word.
He could
This is
say
the
that
most
exact.
impactful and monumental change or signing that this team has done since starting their playoff pushes in the early 2000s or whatever.
The exact same thing if he included since Jackie Robinson.
There is
You
a giant circle in this
could have. Like, dude,
history here.
that is an incomplete sentence, sir. Include the qualifier.
Is possibly even funnier is that there is not a single other team, probably in American sports,
That
that
can
you would
claim
think,
that.
yes, you could probably say exactly what he said without saying anything else in about 97% of other teams in the US, which is
Everybody has the most impactful thing, but not everybody has the player that broke the color barrier.
is
That is
impressive.
something, and like that is something that's very important to not only baseball, but it's so incredibly important to Dodger baseball. And I roll back on what I said previously of how there's not people who are fans of individual Major League Baseball players, except for Ben Verlander. Ben Verlander thinks that Shohei Ohtani can walk on water and save the planet and do no wrong, and it blinds him to all other items of baseball importance. It's honestly harmful.
Somebody went and decided to. There's a few funny responses to that. One was, you know, it's a problem when there's more quote tweets than likes on it.
Always.
But somebody else made a good point of all he had to say was that this was the most impactful whatever in Los Angeles Dodgers history.
Also
Again,
that.
since or this was the most impactful signing they've had since they moved to Los Angeles. Something like that.
No, because I think that it's very important to use Jackie Robinson's
I
name.
think you very much can, you should.
Like, it's right there, and it's also in every single park across the country. It's in every single
Whole damn day.
conversation of baseball history. Not only baseball history, it's in nearly every conversation of sports history. It is unavoidable to think about Jackie Robinson if you think about baseball at all. And I just, Has he met Shohei Ohtani?
I hope not.
I hope Shohei Ohtani has a restraining order on Ben Verlander. I want him to not be allowed to talk about him. That I don't know if that's like actually a possible thing, but like to have a restraining order against like also original like published thought around about a person, like I would, God, that is, I did not see that, and I am angry.
Pretty casual Ben Verlander.
Casual, typical Ben Verlander L.
Finally, there's a final thing I have to say. The MLB did come out with saying that there will be a few rule changes for this 2024 season. Disclaimer, these are possibly the most minor rules that will never affect a game in any way. So let's get through them. Pitch clock change. The pitch clock will now be reduced from the 20 seconds with runners on to just 18 seconds. This is a
We're gonna
two-second
shave off
difference.
4 more minutes from a game, boy.
This is a 2-second difference just to cut down things a lot. Again, if you
Actually,
looked over the video I put on our Instagram.
to be fair, 2 seconds is a long time when you're like doing a plank, but it's a very short time when you're doing one of those like flip over multiplication quizzes. It's crazy.
But I mean it's such a minor change that
Yeah.
people won't notice. Again, we talked about it, I think the end of last year. People barely started noticing the pitch clock by the end of the
It
year.
honestly has become irrelevant to like the flow of the game, other than the fact that you're like, oh my God, thank God the game's already done.
And again, the same sense of I think if the MLB didn't come out with these rules, nobody would notice. The second thing is that they reduced the mound visits allowed from 5 per game to just 4.
All
Again,
about that.
I think it would it's just the minor thing of like this really four mound visits is probably all you
It's
need.
plenty. It's plenty.
It isn't some like I think it's such a fine line between MLB and other levels of MLB. You don't always need to go and talk to the pitcher.
Because,
A lot
correct
of
me
the
if I'm
time,
wrong,
they know it.
mound visit is different than a change of pitching.
Yes. Yes. No.
That's.
No. I think it's the same. It
So
is
you
the
can only
same.
change your pitcher 4 times?
No, you can only change your pitcher middle of the inning 4 times.
Oh, okay.
So you can change it as much as possible
Which
if it's the
kind
end of
of
the
comes into
inning.
the last rule that they changed, not to jump
Yes.
ahead.
Yes. We'll get there in a second. Another rule they added was changing the runner's lane a little. The runner's lane will be widened to include the dirt between the foul line and the infield
Trey
grass
Turner's gonna
mound.
love this one.
Again,
He
it's
was.
something that I think is super minor.
Trey
And
Turner is the only person I've ever seen affected by having an issue with the running lane from home to first, and it's happened to him like 4 times.
it's super, and again, it's a super small change, which I think promotes safety.
Yeah.
And promotes just a little bit ability. It doesn't,
And
that's not a
also,
rule
this is
changing.
also a, it does help though, because this is a significantly clearer marking of, because like
Yeah,
before, like
what
the
the line
runner's
is.
lane is like the umpire's discretion. Which is never a good idea when you have Major League Baseball umpires. So this does give like a very, at least from home to first and third to home, a very like strict, this is where the runner is. I
Yeah.
guess it's not really third to home. It's only home to first.
I mean, but it's still in general is a lot more consistent, and I think
Yeah.
it will help the game in a very minor
And
way that
it'll
will kind of total
also,
up.
for when the freak things with Trey Turner happens, it will reduce arguing and delaying the game of trying to see if he was in or out of the running lane.
Yeah. And the final thing, and this is, I
This, I think,
want
is
to
the biggest
say
one.
right now, personally is causing the biggest fuss, but is the most minor thing that people don't understand is a quote pitcher warming up. And it is stated a pitcher who is sent out to warm up for an inning must face at least one batter. What this means is if a pit we'll use Garrett Cole out here. If Gerrit Cole walks out there to start an inning, he's gone 5 innings. He's out there for his sixth. And they're like, all right, we're going to ride this. And their order right now goes a righty, righty, and then a lefty. So we're going to keep him out there for the first two batters. We'll switch him when the lefty comes up. But he goes out there, he starts warming up, and he looks over to the dugout here, and the opponent goes and pinch hits for a lefty. And now you, with the new rule, you are not allowed to take Gerrit Cole off the mound. Originally, you could be, hey, now that they're making that substitution, we're taking Gerrit Cole out. We're bringing a lefty in to face lefty, lefty.
Now, so that's if Gerrit Cole has already walked onto the field, correct?
If he is already on the mound.
Does he? Okay. So this is my question. Okay. So softball has a similar rule of if I walk out and I pitch the ball, then I have to throw to the first batter. But if I pick up the ball and give it to someone, I don't have to pitch. Does he have to touch the ball, or is it like in the general
It is
area?
going
Like
most
in.
likely it is going to be the ball, but at the same time, it's professional baseball. There is no ball on the mound.
Very
It's
true.
given them by the umpire.
I think it should be if they walk out of the dugout, because unless they are going onto the mound, there's no other reason that Gerrit Cole should be stepping out of the dugout.
Yeah, and I think that right
There's
now
probably more
it says a
specification. Yeah.
pitcher who is sent out to warm up for an inning. So whatever discretion that is in the rule in their specific rule book is their specific rule book. But people were having an absolute fuss about this because they thought that this was a pitcher warming up in the
In the
bullpen. So
bullpen.
they're like, oh, anybody who touches a mound in the bullpen has to go and pitch and they can't sit down. Like, no, read
Yeah.
the fucking
No, I'd assume that it's probably walking out of the dugout with intent to go to the mound.
Yeah.
Intent is probably in there. Okay. That makes a lot
Yeah.
more sense. I didn't know that this was something that needed a rule change.
I think no, it's exactly that. And it's really what most of these rules were is just very little tweaks that I don't think happened
To the big
enough.
changes that happened last year.
Yeah, and people
Makes
are
sense.
blowing it out of proportions because of the big changes we saw last year. So everybody thinks these are also big changes, but these are little tiny, tiny little tweaks just to make the
Yeah,
game go
no.
a little bit faster.
I
Again,
mean,
the pitcher switching probably happens maybe 10 times in the
yeah.
entire season.
I was about to say I was listening to a podcast. I was watching Sawyer edit a video for his job. It's for JJ Redick's podcast, the retired NBA player. And he was talking to Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner. And the NBA changes rules significantly more than Major League Baseball does. And Silver made a great point of like, yeah, if I make a rule change this year, next year I'm going to make a slight edit to it. Like, it's not going to be perfect the first time. Like, people expecting last year's, and like, last year was a huge rule change, right? So they were talking about it. JJ Redick and Adam Silver were talking about it in the context of the in-season tournament. He's like, right, this year we're just kind of throwing it
Testing
at
it
the
out.
wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
Next year we'll make changes to it probably. There's no way next year is going to be the same way that it was this year.
Yeah.
But like the first year that it happens is the big impact, right? Last year was the big impact of the pitch clock and all these new rules. Next year, there's going to be slight changes, and there's going to be little baby edits that are just going to fine-tune it to the game that is needed, right? We don't need 20 seconds, right? They saw the pattern is that they didn't need 20 seconds. They at max probably needed 19,
Yeah.
or even they actually scratch that. They probably at max needed like 17 or 16, so they brought it down to 18 because the whole goal is still efficiency of games.
Yeah. I think, again, these are some of the most minor changes.
You're literally not going to notice.
If, yeah, you will not notice. If
Because, sorry,
the
go ahead.
MLB didn't produce these, there will be no evidence. Nobody had any clue that
Yeah.
any of this happened. You
They
would
did not
not
need to
notice that
publish
pitch clock is
this.
down at 18.
Yeah. I mean, like, you would have seen, like John Boy probably would have picked it up. But, like, other than that, casual watchers, I probably wouldn't have noticed. I would have been like, oh, yeah, I guess it was always 18. I had a thought and I just lost it. And I don't know where it went. Where'd you go? I don't know. It's gone. I'm trying to grasp it and I don't. What were we saying right before that?
Don't know.
Oh, I got it. I got it. It's back. It's back. Right after the first 2 weeks of baseball, I didn't recognize the big changes from last year.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you don't consciously realize it. And like, yeah, you can look and see all of the stat changes that have happened and all that. But again, as we've gone over, the pitch clock hasn't changed. People keep trying to go and blame the pitch clock for injuries when even statistically, I think there were less injuries this past year than there were 2 years ago. There's a whole statistic of injuries and pitchers are going up anyways, but this last year there's actually less. And so it's not a whole narrative of, you know, you're going to hurt more pitchers. Not at all. And at the same point, pitchers will adjust. Pitchers have time to adjust. I understand you could say the whole thing of, oh, you know, these guys have played their entire lives taking their time. Pick the fucking base.
The only guy that was affected and will continue to be affected is Alek Manoah, and he's irrelevant anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, it's such a all those changes are very small, will total up to just probably a cleaner and a little bit quicker game.
And that's what I'm always looking for. I love baseball, but I don't want to watch it for 4 hours. I really don't. But that's all we've got, right, Scotty?
Yeah. Just waiting for a
just sitting there waiting. Just sitting and waiting. But make sure to follow us on Instagram at pinstripebotpodcast.podcast and to follow us on whatever platform you're listening to us on. I'm gonna wish everybody a Merry Christmas, as that will be on Monday and this comes out on Friday. And for Scotty, I am Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.